This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Fridays, 2:15. Always fun to catch up. Couple of friends. Some news, some old. And I don't mean to call this person old, just I happen to have known one of our guests, our first-time guest, for a long, long time. Let's do the roundtable.
Camelot. Camelot. It's only a model.
So we'll go in reverse order of how long I've known you. Jeremy Green from the Sportsocracy in Asheville. He's got a job to do in a little bit, so we're not going to keep him forever. He joins us. We thank him for his time. And Brett Friedlander from Saturday Road. He's the ACC columnist, SaturdayRoad.com. And I have known Brett for
30 years,
something like that. it's been a while. Brett, we go back to my University of Maryland days, your Montgomery County days. I thank you very much for your time. All right, I'm going to throw the first salvo at you. Let's start with the Wolfpack, as you are the columnist for SaturdayRoad.com. Let's start with the Wolfpack hosting Texas Tech, sir. By the way, nice shirt. I've seen that before. danger time for Dave Doran, or are those days over?
I think those days are over, but if it's going to happen, this is the game that it's going to happen in, because you got UConn next week, and even if they just show up, they can sleepwalk their way through that and still win. So if they're going to be looking for ahead to Clemson, I think this is the one you have to worry about. But I just think that they're good enough and they've been through enough that it isn't going to happen again. I just think they'll take care of business. Their defense is just too good.
Their defense is good. Texas Tech more of a throwing team than a running team, although they can run it. Jeremy, forget about the look-ahead stuff. The game that NC State played at East Carolina, does that get them beat tomorrow?
I genuinely think East Carolina is better than Texas Tech.
Oh, okay.
I was heavily on Houston last week because I forgot rule number one of betting college football is never trust Dana Holgorsen. Got me on the under, got me on the number.
That's rule number one?
That's rule, as a West Virginia guy, that's rule number one.
Okay.
Dan Holgorsen will let you down anytime you trust him.
Right.
So this has been said to be a look ahead, a trap game for NC State. I don't think so. Texas Tech's not that good. People are overvaluing the fact they beat Houston. I'm on Houston to lose again this week.
Okay.
So,
but yet that didn't work for you last week.
No, it did not. Because they did lose, and I expected them to win.
Right.
Because I forgot, you always go on the opposite side of Dana Holgorsen.
All right. So I have no idea what to. So I assume that Houston's going to win this week.
I'm saying they're not going to, so that's probably a safe assumption.
Trying to follow this, and I'm doing a poor job of it. I hope. I don't think NC State is looking past Texas Tech. There is a unique history of NC State and Power 5 non-conference opponents. I know I saw your, actually the reason why I reached out to you, Brett, because I saw your retweet, because you pointed out that there haven't been a lot of these games scheduled by NC State, but State has done this a couple of times in the past and have had games canceled. I thought they were better than West Virginia a couple of years ago. They go up there and get smacked. I thought they were better than Mississippi State last year and got smacked. Is there something about the dynamic that has been troubling in the past? I know you said they're over it, but what are your thoughts about these most recent games?
Both of those games were on the road, and I just think that I don't know what the deal was, but they just weren't prepared. And then last year against Mississippi State, they gave up a touchdown on the opening kickoff and really got knocked back on their heels and never recovered. So I think being at home at night, where, you know, they'll be out in the parking lots drinking Old Tuffies, you know, from noon on. So it'll be a great atmosphere. So I think they'll be okay. I don't think there are going to be any letdowns. I just think that, you know, those games are on the road. Now, if you know, the game against West Virginia at Carter-Finley was called off because of the hurricane. The game against Mississippi State at Carter-Finley got zapped because of the pandemic. I think they probably would have won those two games. So, you know. And here's the thing about why I responded to those emails, because it is very easy to pile on NC State fans.
You're right.
And they're an easy target. But they didn't deserve this one. I mean, look, Dave Doran took over in 2013, and, you know, they scheduled 10 years in advance, for crying out loud. So he has done a good job of scheduling these games. I mean, home and home against West Virginia, home and home against Mississippi State, now Texas Tech. You got a few more coming up in the future. So I think that, you know, at least if you're going to slam NC State on something, this is not the way to go.
By the way, you started that off with a knocked back, and I thought we were going to talk Duke basketball, but we're obviously not going to do that. Let me stay with college football, something closer to where you are, Jeremy. Look, there's got to be a buzz, obviously, because of App State's win over A&M, and they're hosting college game day. Are we looking at a vintage App team, or did they just kind of sneak up and catch Texas A&M when they were napping?
The culture at A&M, or at Appalachian State, excuse me, is so good that you can never count them out. I don't think this team's great. Chase Bryce is a vet quarterback. I'm not sure he's a great quarterback, mm-mm, but the leadership is good enough. I think that's being overvalued a little bit. Texas A&M's not good. Their quarterback may be the worst starting Power 5 quarterback I have seen in the last 10 years. And he looks like a character from Spaceballs with that gigantic helmet that he wears, which makes it even harder to I had App State play, in the money line last week.
You so. Did. You're batting 500.
That went nicely.
Put you in the Hall of Fame. Very nice. He's Dark Helmet, I believe, right?
I've never seen that movie, but somebody said it to me. And Brett, I don't watch movies.
Brett, we should hang up on Jeremy right now.
We should force him to watch it before he ever comes on your show again. I mean, come on.
Gosh.
It's a classic.
They've gone from, never mind. I can't even go there. Dark Helmet is a character from Spaceballs. Never mind, Jeremy.
May Look, Schwartz be with you.
Absolutely. All right, let's a little bit more ACC football before we get to the Panthers. Brett, SaturdayRoad.com. I know you wrote about the week coming up, the weekend coming up in ACC football. Miami is going to Texas A&M. Florida State playing at Louisville tonight. Does the state of Florida get both of those games, and how important is it to the ACC this year?
Well, first of all, the worst thing that happened to the ACC was Appalachian State beating Texas A&M. Because if Miami goes in there and beats a top five team, it's huge. I mean, Feinbaum even has to acknowledge that the ACC is back. But here's the thing. Now Miami goes there and they have to win. Because if they don't, you know, hey, you lost to a team that Appalachian State beat and made look terrible offensively after giving up 63 to Carolina the week before. Oh, by the way, King is not the starting quarterback for Texas A&M anymore. Jimbo has made a change.
Sure.
So they'll have a different quarterback. But that game is still huge because if you're the ACC, any chance you get at beating an SEC team on the road is big. And, you know, if Miami has any designs at all on being legitimately in the playoff conversation, this is one that they have to have. As far as Florida State is concerned, I'm really anxious in watching this game tonight because, you know, Florida State is one missed extra point away from literally being talked about as, you know, Mike Norvell being on the hot seat and what's wrong with them and they're terrible. And now all of a sudden Florida State's back because LSU missed the extra point. So I want to see how they follow that up, if they're really that good. And, you know, Louisville beat UCF last week, but I think UCF beat UCF last week.
Okay.
And if Malik Cunningham doesn't take matters into his own hands and really carry that team, then they're not going to have any chance because he doesn't have a lot of weapons around him. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that game just to see if Florida State is really as good as everybody thinks they are, or if, you know, it was a mirage, because LSU's not very good either.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think Florida State won that game by just being competent, which is something we haven't seen from Florida State in a number of years.
Competent is a relative term because they threw a damn pitch sweep on the goal line when all they needed was a field goal to put the game away. So, you know, they were semi-competent.
Hey, that's
even a 30-year Jets fan, or as a 30-year Florida State fan, I'm still not ready to talk about that pitch sweep on the 1 yard line.
So I struck Florida State fan in you. So you are Team Mike Norvell or no?
I don't love Norvell. I love the passion what Brett said about the pitch sweep on the one-yard line, that's the definition of Florida State in the Mike Norvell era. That's why I'm so curious to see them against Louisville. This is a game they have lost with Mike Norvell. You're better than Louisville. Yes, you're on the road. They have one player, and it's a mobile quarterback with your pass rush, Jared Verse, several guys that are going to play in the league in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. You should be able to go into Louisville and win this game. If you have turned a corner, you will. If not, then you're going to lose this game to the Cardinals tonight.
Yeah. I think the term is Florida State back. We rush these things all the time. We rush it with Miami. We rush it with Florida State. I mean, I don't think Miami is ever going to be back. So the answer will always be no. Because when we're talking about Miami being back, we're talking about an era that they just can't get to. Because that era is what Alabama is today, what Ohio State is today. We're never going to get to that. But they can get back to being good, legitimately good, year in and year out. I think that is within the reach of the Hurricanes. That is within the reach of Florida State. And, Jeremy, I'll just continue with this with you, and then we'll kick it to Brett. I think when you look at ACC football, the reason why the conference has been, using air quotes, down is because Miami hasn't been that good and Florida State's been a train wreck. So it's just been Clemson. And if your football brands can't be good, then your league can't be good. It's like when Duke and Carolina aren't great, doesn't make a difference how good the rest of the teams are in the ACC. The league's down.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuyter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuyter.
In the construct of the ACC, when they built this, when Pittsburgh and Syracuse and Miami and Virginia Tech came in, the powers were supposed to be Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, and Clemson's a cute little four.
Right.
Well, the problem is that those three programs have been down for the better part of the last decade.
Right.
Now, what you said about Cristobal, I don't know that Miami will ever get to national power. For them, they have to understand it's the same thing as Florida State. Back for you is winning ACC championships, which is something for the last 5 years Florida State's not been doing. Miami's never done it since they came into the conference. That's back. You're never going to be Alabama. It doesn't work that way. You're in a state with two other power programs. You can't just put the fence around Dade County and say, we dominate Miami. Florida's going to come in there. Florida State's going to come in there. Georgia, Alabama. You want to get back to winning ACC, to winning conference titles.
Yeah, that would get back to it. Just get to it, right?
They used to win a lot of Big East titles. As a West Virginia guy, I remember that quite well.
They absolutely did win a lot of Big East titles. That league doesn't exist in football anymore. Brett, I basically saw you nodding your head. I mean, the strength of the ACC will be defined by what those two schools in Florida do, no?
Yeah, and Virginia Tech. I wrote a column about this a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, instead of going out and trying to expand, you know, bringing in Central Florida or whoever, that, you know, West Virginia or whatever, how about getting your brand names to be brand names again? And I think that will be the best thing the ACC can do to stay relevant. I love what Mario Cristobal has done, however, because when he came in, and he said this in Charlotte at the kickoff media event there back this summer, is that he's not trying to bring the swagger back. He's the first Miami coach in the last two decades to basically say, look, the past is the past. We're going to try to do something different. We're going to try to do it, you know, new, but, you know, get back to a high level. And I think that's the first step to trying to get back. And we'll see. I mean, I think maybe he's finally the right guy, but time will tell.
It took the turnover chain away.
And that was a good thing.
100% it was a good thing. I said for several years that Miami was South Carolina dressed as Miami for Halloween.
Don't go to South Carolina. That's where I went.
Oh, gosh. That's terrible.
Did not know that, I promise.
Why am I the young guy here? I don't think the turnover chain means anything. It's fun. Let the kids have fun. But I understand the image of it and why Mario Cristobal is taken away. He wants it to be all business. That's cool. I do think that stuff like that is fun, and I like to see kids having fun at the college level. All right, we'll close on the Panthers. Jeremy, this game at the Giants, is it make or break? Maybe not after this week, but basically is this make or break for Mr. Matt Rhule?
Well, Matt Rhule being a New York guy, he was almost the head coach of the New York Giants. He was almost the head coach of the New York Jets. This is a chance for him to come in, beat a team coming off a win that the Giants should not be 1-0.
No, I'm not arguing that. Yeah, you're right.
They should have lost to Tennessee. Saquon Barkley had a special game. This is a game the Panthers should win. Your defense is better than that.
Should?
I would say they should win this game.
Should win? Are there any games that the Panthers should win?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you still have Daniel Jones playing quarterback for the Giants.
And?
I mean, that gives you a 7-point disadvantage right off the jump. Okay. As long as you don't give them points, you should be able to benefit from that.
Should is very strong, Jeremy. Very.
You know how I feel about Baker Mayfield. I've said it before. The thing that scares me the most about what I saw in week one against Cleveland is how ineffective it appeared to me that the offensive play call was in using Christian McCaffrey. And this is a week he should eviscerate the Giants. One of their biggest weaknesses is at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm so on Carolina this week. I don't believe in Matt Rhule, but I do believe Carolina will go into New York and win this week.
Should, Brett? Should
I don't know about should, but first of all, if I'm Matt Rhule, I have already placed a call to Trev Alberts in Nebraska and say, hey, I'm available if you want to hire me like tomorrow. That's number one. Number two, because of that tenuous situation that he's got, why are you coaching conservatively? Why are you babying your team like he did in the first half against the Browns? Coach wide open. Take chances. Do crazy things because your job is already on the line. You might as well try to go down, in a blaze of glory and put some points up and at least, give yourself a chance. I thought that first half, they did not give themselves a chance. And when it came down to it, they had to play wide open. In the second half, they looked like a decent team. But you got to play that way all the time. You just can't hold anything back.
Brett Friedlander, SaturdayRoad.com, Jeremy Green, The Sportsocracy in Asheville. Before I let you go, I'm just going to comment on that. I think the bigger problem for the Panthers in the first half was that they could not block. They could not keep Baker McCaffrey. Either one of them. Both of those guys, or Christian Mayfield, they couldn't keep those guys clean. Baker had people in his face all game. Ike Ekwonu was, it was abuse what Myles Garrett did to him. They didn't give him enough help. They gave him help a little bit, but Tommy Tremble wasn't much help when he did use the tight end to help him out. McCaffrey, the best play they ran in the first three quarters was the snap that rolled back and McCaffrey picked up and ran 30 yards. I just think their problem was the offensive line. My bigger problem with Matt Rhule was that they didn't throw the ball on that final series before the field goal that put him ahead. Because, and he's calling RPOs, I get it. We had run pass options. Nah, man, stick that RPO in Ben McAdoo's hat and throw the ball. Don't give him the option. Throw it. You had to pick up a first down. I mean, you weren't. What he said after the game made me mad, that I didn't think he could go 40 yards in a minute 15, as though Matt Rhule has never watched football. I'll ask you both the same question, or I don't care, on the way out. Is Nebraska the best retirement plan in sports? Because nobody's going to win there, and you're going to get paid a lot of money for about 4 years. Brett?
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I went into the wrong profession, man. Being a bad football coach is very profitable.
Oh, my gosh. That or a left-handed pitcher. Jeremy, would you want the Nebraska job?
I am probably too young to be thinking about my retirement plan.
But you could.
But if somebody would offer me $7.5 extra million dollars to go away today instead of 2 weeks from now, I'm going to ask the Ed Orgeron question. Which door you want me out of and what time? Go Tigers.
Jeremy Green from the Sportsocracy in Asheville. Brett Freelander, SaturdayRoad.com ACC columnist. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's nice to catch up, Brett. I'll see you soon. Jeremy, I'll talk to you later, man.
Yes, sir.
You can actually see the finish line. It's awesome.
So close.
Right? We're at this point. Weekend is here. Real quick story before we pick every NFL game. We have to keep score of this now, Victoria. This is the first time we've done this.
I know. I'm excited.
I had to pick up my car was getting worked on. I had to pick it up. So we drove in together. My wife, who is a salon owner in downtown Raleigh, just inside the Beltline, she had a 7:30 client. So we had to leave. You know, we live in just Saskatchewan. So,
same.
Right. So we left insanely early. It was kind of just barely light out when we left the house. So we were driving in and I'm thinking, man, we're going to be late. There's no chance. She goes, nah, it's Friday. No traffic on Fridays. Do people work on Fridays?
I don't know. I mean, we do.
I mean, yes.
We're here. Like, I know.
We just breezed into town.
That's crazy.
It was awesome.
You can't breeze anywhere in Raleigh.
Know. Yeah, Raleigh traffic is not. I mean, it's depending on where you are. Raleigh traffic's kind of.
And what time it is.
We can't complain about it. Until some people understand what I'm about to say. Until you've been on the LIE, you have no idea.
True.
What traffic is. Until you have been on the Long Island Expressway, no matter the time of day, you have no idea what traffic is. All right. Let's pick some NFL games. Show. Do we have a music bed for this? Because we need music when we're doing this. I'm not really sure why, but it just sounds better.
You know I got you.
All right, cool. All right. Panthers, Giants. It is, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go first on this.
Going with the Panthers. It's not going to be pretty. Never is.
All right. That's it. No analysis. No, we're just going. We don't need analysis here.
Every time I put more effort into it, it just never works. So,
all right. Before I tell you who I'm going to pick, I'm simply going to say that I do not believe that Matt Rhule will be fired after this game if he loses this game to the Giants. I do not believe that will be the case. David Tepper is not going to fire Matt Rhule Tuesday if they lose to the Giants. I do think it's an indication that Matt Rhule is just not good at his job, which we kind of already suspect. But yeah. I just do think it's an indication that that's where we will be headed.
It may not happen after the game, but it's going to happen.
Right. And it may happen anyway.
It should happen. I said it.
But not to agree with Jeremy Green, who joined us in the roundtable. I do think that I don't know that the Panthers are better than the Giants. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure they're better than anybody. And I don't think they should beat anybody anywhere. But I think they will win this game. So I will take the Panthers. I'm still looking for growth somewhere. Yeah. They have to block better. I don't think it was about play calling. I think it was about inability to block.
Yes.
You can't run any play if you can't block. It would also help if Baker Mayfield caught a snap.
Right.
I'm just saying.
And had more than 2 seconds to throw it when he did.
All right. That was Panthers, Giants, Colts, Jaguars. I'll go first. I'm not sure the Colts are good at all.
No?
No, I'm not a Matt Ryan guy. In his prime, Matt Ryan was really good. But I think the prime is over. I'm gonna take the Jaguars at home. Okay. I don't think the Jaguars are good either.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Jags at home.
Best of two evils.
They came back. They lost the game eventually to the Commandos. But, you know, they were down big early and came back and had the lead and blew it. But they're not good either. No. This is a pillow fight.
Yeah, it is.
So I'll take the Jaguars at home.
All right. Well, I'm going opposite. I'll take the Colts. I think every now and again they shock us with their wins.
Do they?
So I think, sometimes. So I think this might be one of them. Got
all
the
right.
Colts.
Dolphins, Ravens. Do you have a pick here? By the way, we should be saying, are you? I guess I picked the underdog to win in both games, so I have them with the points.
Okay.
So are you giving 3.5 with the Colts? I totally forgot that. All right.
Yes, there is that. All right. When it comes to the Dolphins and the Ravens, I'm going Ravens. I just have no faith in the Dolphins. I mean, they were very competitive, but I think the Ravens got this one.
Well, I like the Ravens, too. That line, sometimes betting lines, which is 3.5. Ravens are 3.5. Sometimes betting lines sucker you in.
Yes.
I think this is one of those betting lines that suckers you in. Ravens, only 3.5-point favorites. I believe that is the case, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
3.5.
Yep.
How is that only a 3.5-point spread?
I know.
So I'm not going for the bait.
Okay.
I think the Ravens will win, but I think the Ravens will win a close game.
Oh, okay.
With Miami. So I will take Miami plus the 3.5.
Sounds good.
Does that? I don't know that it sounds good at all. It just made it sound good. Yeah. All right.
That's all that matters.
Patriots and Steelers. Let me offer this on this game. This game is going to be shown. It's a CBS game. You know, they have the national first game, I guess. 85% of America who are watching football on CBS at 1 o'clock are getting this game. And they are not getting it because these are two good football teams. They are getting it because one is named the Steelers and the other is named the Patriots, and that's it.
Yep.
I'm not sure that there is a combined 15 wins on the field between these two teams. I am dead serious.
Yeah.
I don't think the Patriots are making the playoffs. I think the Steelers will get over 500 because of Mike Tomlin. Maybe the Patriots will too. But I don't think either team is very good.
No.
Steelers are getting 2 points at home. Okay. I'll take the Steelers getting 2 points at home. But don't really like either team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Steelers are going to win. It's going to be an ugly game. They're just going to be the best of two evils.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad. Speaking of so bad, Jets at the Browns.
Oh.
We should just move on. I mean, it's the Jets. They're still starting Joe. Actually, Robert Saleh kind of intimated that he might change quarterbacks. I haven't paid enough attention to know that if they're going to go with Mike White or not. But my guess is that he's going to ride Joe Flacco one more game. And I said this last year, every game you start Joe Flacco should take a little bit more life out of every Jets fan because you are just wasting time. I mean, legit, I'm not saying Mike White's any good because he probably isn't if Joe Flacco is starting.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
But what is this doing for you?
Nothing.
If Mike White is on your roster, then let him play.
Use him. This is what I was saying during the preseason as a Panther fan. What are we doing with this flip-flopping? Yeah, I know. I feel you.
Well, Matt Rhule was galaxy-braining it. Yeah. Oh, we're just not going to give it to Baker Mayfield. Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are.
Stop it.
You're not fooling anyone.
Exactly. We know the deal. 6.5 might be too many points for the Browns to give, but I'm going to give it because the Jets don't deserve anybody's love based on starting Joe Flacco.
You and I are on the same page. Right. Browns, they're going to be, I think they're going to win, especially coming off of the win that they shouldn't have won with the Panthers. So, yeah.
Bucks Saints. Saints are getting 2.5 points at home. You know, I've already said I don't even like I want people to understand this. I don't like the Saints. There's nothing. Actually, I liked them less when it was Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I liked them a lot less. They were just a whiny, complaining team.
Always.
And I'm not sure I like this team. I just think they're good.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to beat the Buccaneers. So, yes, you and I are both on the Saints plus 2.5 at home. Yep. Commandos at the Lions. You go.
Oh, man. Commandos at the Lions. I'm going to go with Commandos. We'll see how it goes, because the Lions are just, you can't rely on them either.
They scored 35 points against the Eagles.
I think they're going to show up. Washington Commandos are going to try to make a name.
Yeah, they better than Commandos.
Well, other than Commandos.
I'm going with the Lions. I don't think the Lions are going to be terrible.
No.
Well, they're going to be terrible. They won't be as terrible as they were a year ago, and I am team Dan Campbell anyway.
True.
Any guys doing push-ups and up-downs with his team?
Ugh.
Yeah, like it.
I'm all over it.
I love Dan Campbell. All right, Falcons at Rams. Falcons are not good.
No.
Falcons are not good.
No. It's got to be Rams.
Yeah, but 10 points is a
ton. That is a lot, though.
10 points is a lot. Half the Rams are hurt.
But they can do it, because the Falcons, they will lose it bad, too. Like, if they're losing and it gets to the fourth quarter, they'll lose, like, bad. So I can see it.
They'll probably have a lead, like, late in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And then lose the game by two touchdowns. But I'm going to take the Falcons with the points. I don't think the Falcons are going to win that game, but
yeah,
I'll take the Falcons, because 10 points is a lot of points.
It is.
That's a lot of points to give. And, the Rams are just banged up. I heard Cam Akers say that he was surprised that he didn't play.
Oh.
If you're surprised that you didn't play, there's a problem.
Uh-huh.
It's probably with you. I'm just saying. If that catches you by surprise, then you didn't realize there was a problem. What's interesting here is that the 4 o'clock games are almost all giant spreads.
Yes.
And
huge.
The only double-digit spread in the 1 o'clock games, not even a double-digit, the only touchdown spread basically is Jets-Browns. Everything, with the one exception being Cardinals-Raiders, from 4 o'clock on is a big spread. So we've got Seattle at San Francisco, 49ers favored by 8.5. Who do you like?
Seahawks.
Is that because too many points?
Yeah, I think so. I got to go with Seahawks. That's what the gut's saying, which has led me wrong before.
Jamal Adams is out for the year, safety for the Seahawks. I think they careered it against Denver, and I also think that the 49ers were horrific in Chicago. Everything flips. 49ers big over Seattle. Big day for Trey Lance, maybe because I have him on my fantasy team.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm going to give him one more start.
Right. Well, I mean, it worked for the Mets with your, like,
yeah, exactly,
putting it out there. So.
Exactly. I'm going to give him one more start. Cardinals-Raiders in Las Vegas. Raiders by 5.5.
I'm thinking Raiders.
I think the Raiders are good. I think the Cardinals are bad.
Yeah.
I think this is the final year for Cliff Kingsbury.
Absolutely.
With the Cardinals. The whole reason they brought him there was to make something out of Kyler Murray. And
what happened?
I mean, they signed him to a contract, but I don't think they really wanted to.
No.
I feel like they felt like they had no other choice. And that's a bad position to be in as a franchise. I am also taking the Raiders minus the 5. Bengals are at the Cowboys. And the Bengals look trash. Turned it over 5 times against the Steelers at home, lost in overtime. In Dallas, giving 7.5.
I know.
Come on.
What is going on?
I don't understand that.
Oh, I don't know. This is kind of another toss-up. I'm going to say Bengals. Just going with it. I don't think the Cowboys are going to win.
I don't think the Cowboys are going to win either, but I can't.
It's a big spread.
I can't give 7.5 on the road for the Bengals. But if the Cowboys got,
oh yeah,
I'll be laughing when it's all over.
At least,
so
yes.
I will take the Cowboys at home plus the 7.5.
Uh-huh.
Texans at Broncos, Denver by 10. I'm not going to spend any time on this game.
Yeah,
take the Broncos. No, you know what? I can't take the Broncos because of that coaching decision from last week.
I know.
So I'll take the Texans plus the 10 points, but I'll hide my eyes and not even watch.
Exactly. Yeah, no, same. I'm going with the Texans.
All right. Bears at Packers.
Ooh, and this, okay, this
Packers
is going to be a tough one.
Packers are giving 10 points.
This is going to be tough because the Packers always beat the Bears or have lately. I'm going to say Packers, if they can get it going, I think they could maybe make the spread.
Yeah, I think the Bears aren't good.
No.
They beat a team in a monsoon. It was a slip and slide. So, Packers giving 10. I think the young wide receivers will catch the ball for a change, and Aaron Rodgers will beat the Bears again. All right, now that's the Sunday night game, the two Monday games. We have two Monday games. Titans-Bills, we'll pick them even though these games won't have been played by the time we talk again. Titans at Bills, Buffalo giving 10.
100% Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going to give the 10 as well. Titans play a way where that game could end up being close, but I don't think that, I've said this before, I don't think the Titans are going to make the playoffs.
No.
And I think the Bills train continues. Vikings-Eagles, sneaky good game. I don't know if it's sneaky. I think it's a good game.
Yes.
Eagles -2, and I will take Philadelphia.
Yes.
At home.
Absolutely.
I am team Jalen Hurts this year, and I have no idea why. I have no idea why, but I am team Jalen Hurts because I'm not sure he's great.
Yeah.
But I think he's a high-character kid, and I like what the Eagles are doing.
Yeah.
So you and I are on the same page there. We got to go. Mm-hmm. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. When we talk on Monday, the Titans and Bills and Vikings and Eagles will not have played. But we will talk State and Wake and App and ECU and the Panthers. And maybe it's the bell tolling for Matt Rhule. Will Brinson will join us. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Have fun at College Game Day up on the hill.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.